Okay, so you may be wondering why the global famine that's incoming coincides with the global rollout of the Hantavirus hoax. Of course, it's a total hoax. It's all theater. Even the videos from the cruise ship and everything, all scripted, all planned. They hired crisis actors who were also used in COVID, etc. Okay, so the entire thing is fake. I'm not going to go into all those details. You can look that up online. What I'm here to tell you is why they're doing these two things together. In order to do that, let me bring up this new infographic that I put together. It's called Food Reserves Across Our World. I just put this together today. And what I did is I had my AI research agents look at the government-run food reserves all over the world. Well, specifically the top 25 countries in terms of their populations. And if you look at the food reserves, as you can see from this map, the food icons represent roughly about 5 million metric tons of government-held grain reserves. So you see the wheat icon there in Russia? Each wheat icon is about 5 million metric tons. You know, give or take, this isn't perfect, and it was AI rendered in terms of the graphics, and sometimes AI makes mistakes on the graphics. But the underlying research is solid, and this is based on data from 2025 as well as, you know, part of 2026 here. But if you look at the whole world map, what do you notice? You notice that the United States has no food reserves. That is, nothing run by the government. Brazil, same story. Mexico, a little bit, you know, not that much, different grains. But most of Central and South America, and also Canada, have no food reserves. It doesn't mean that they don't have food. I mean, one of the reasons that there are no food reserves is because these countries produce a lot of food. And so they figure, well, we don't need reserves because we always have the next growing season. We can make the food, you know? And there's some logic to that. But then look at Africa. You would think that some of these African nations would have more food stores, like Ethiopia or DR Congo, for that matter, or even Egypt would have more than what is currently shown on this map here. And I know the word Egypt is not on the right exact spot on Africa, but that's because there's a wheat sign in the way of the word Egypt. Anyway, you get the idea. So if you look at what are the top three countries in the world that have the most grain reserves, it's Russia, China, and India. Nobody else is even close. Russia, China, and India. Russia, heavy on wheat, right? Lots and lots of wheat. Also, some soy and some corn. China, heavy on corn and rice. Corn and rice. Japan has stored a little bit of rice. Also, Indonesia's got some rice, you know, Bangladesh, a little bit in the Philippines, here and there, what have you. India, a lot of rice and some wheat on top of that. And by the way, you know, there are other grains. There's sorghum and different lentils and different beans and so on that countries obviously store. But I wanted to keep this simplified. So this is the overall simplified picture. And it shows you that compared to Western countries, it's the Eastern countries that have the most stored food by far. Now, since you're probably a regular listener of my podcast, you know that it's difficult to store food in certain formats, and it's easier in other formats. So, for example, if you store whole wheat berries, that is, unrefined, unprocessed wheat, then those wheat berries can store for a very long time. They can store easily over 10 years in the right conditions, even over 20 years in certain conditions. That's because it's got its own protective, you know, shell or hull. And corn can be stored in the right conditions when it's dried. And rice can be stored for a long time when it's dried, etc. But you probably also know that if you grind up the wheat berries and you make wheat flour, then there's a very big difference between the shelf life of whole wheat flour, which goes bad very quickly, versus processed bleached white flour, which lasts much longer. It can last a couple of years. although the longest storage time is in the unprocessed form. But here's what we also know about how the world responds to famine. When there are countries like Bangladesh or Ethiopia or Yemen that suffer from extreme famine, and even India is going to be in this situation, parts of Egypt, etc., the rest of the world tends to respond by shipping processed food. Why? Because processed food doesn't go bad and doesn't go bad quickly and doesn't require the receiving country to be able to process the grains. So in other words, if you're shipping wheat to a country where people are starving, you can't always depend on them having the ability to grind and process the wheat into a processed flour. So very often you process the wheat yourself first into a bleached processed white flour, and then you ship the white flour to these countries to be consumed immediately and made into bread, etc. Now, rice is a little bit different, but brown rice does have a shorter shelf life compared to white rice. So the less nutritious a product is, the longer it stores on the shelf, and the more easily it can be used as a food aid substance to aid these impoverished countries. And that tells you something really important. It tells you that part of the side effect of global famine is that the nutritional density of the foods that people will consume in these marginalized countries, the nutrition will go down because they will be shifting from more local, indigenous, cultural foods or ethnic foods to the processed rescue foods. Oh, here's your rescue white flour or your white rice or your processed corn or corn products. Here's your maltodextrin and your corn syrup, etc. This is what you're going to live on now. And when that happens to a country, then immediately the people of that country begin to, number one, lose immune function. They begin to suffer Western diseases such as type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, even Alzheimer's, obesity, you know, et cetera, and cancers on top of that. So by thrusting the world into mass starvation and then coming to the rescue of those starving populations with processed, nutrient-depleted foods, what the globalists will be able to do is they'll be able to compromise the health and the immune systems of these people all over the world that they want to get rid of, whether it's people in Bangladesh or the Philippines or India or Egypt or Yemen or you name it. And then when they are immune compromised and zinc deficient in particular because of zinc's role in immune function, that's when they'll hit everybody with the hantavirus toxins. Now, it's probably not going to be a legit virus. It's probably going to be chemical weapons that are dispersed either through the food supply or the water supply or into the atmosphere that then prey upon those who are already made vulnerable with engineered poor nutrition. In other words, if you're the globalist and you want to kill off billions of human beings, it's more effective to do it in a two-step process. First, you deplete the nutrients of the foods they're eating and make sure that they are zinc deficient and copper deficient, sulfur deficient, selenium, magnesium deficient, that they're lacking B vitamins, which are also ground out of, you know, the wheat grains, etc. You make sure they're nutritionally deficient first, and then when you hit them with a fake plandemic, but with the aerosol spraying of real chemical weapons or the injection of chemical weapons into food and water supplies, then those people die more easily. So that way, you achieve your depopulation goals while pretending to be helping them with food aid. You see? See how that works? The food aid becomes a weapon to malnourish the target populations and make them extremely vulnerable to the phase two weapon, the binary weapon, which is typically the chemical weapon or could be aerosolized, you know, fungal spores or whatever it is, because, you know, hey, the DOD has come up with, a million different bioweapons. Some of them are just ticks, you know, agricultural bioweapons as well. But whatever it is, those populations are far more vulnerable. Whereas in the Western world, where people are typically wealthier and they have more access to nutrition, if people choose, they can supplement with zinc and sulfur and selenium and copper, or they can eat broccoli sprouts or whatever. And they can actually, you know, have enough nutrition to defend their bodies against whatever is being released globally, whether it's spike proteins or fungal spores or freaking chemtrails or whatever it is. You see what I mean? So this is a kind of depopulation weapon that also targets those on the lower income strata, people who can't afford to have access to nutritional supplements or superfoods or organic foods grown in nutrient-rich soils. So, or another way to say this is extermination through NGOs. The NGOs show up and they say, we'll give you all the food aid you need. We're going to help all the starving people. Yeah. And then the food trucks get delivered, and out of those food trucks comes exactly the kind of food that will make those people nutritionally deficient and make them highly vulnerable to be killed by phase two of the weapon system. That's what's happening. It's clear. Absolutely clear. And of course, many of the victims will be Africans. Some will be in the Middle East, some will be Southeast Asia, but those three areas will be the primary areas where these weapons have the deepest impact, or the highest fatalities among the people. At the same time, in the Western world, which includes Australia, the US, Canada, etc., in the Western world, anybody who's been living a nutritionally deficient lifestyle, living on junk foods, taking lots of medications that strip minerals out of your body, eating just a lot of processed junk food, and, you know, not paying attention to good nutrition, many of those people will be vulnerable as well, and they could easily find themselves swept up in the depopulation extermination machine. And that underscores the importance of having good nutrition, obviously. Have good nutrition. And part of that is growing your own food, because you may know that a lot of the fresh fruits and vegetables that you buy at the grocery store, they are, of course, picked before they fully ripen. And because they're picked before they ripen, they often don't have the full opportunity to develop their nutritional profile. For example, in tomatoes, you might not have nearly as much lycopene as you would in freshly grown tomatoes, or in peaches that you get at the grocery store. You know, they're picked when they're rock hard. It's like, these aren't peaches, these are baseballs. But if you have a peach on your own peach tree, that has far better nutrition in it. And also, of course, you have the opportunity to feed your peach trees, you know, mineral-rich compost, or, you know, goat poop, or whatever you happen to have that you work into the soil there, and that feeds the trees. Where from the grocery store, you're getting what I have long called shadow food. And shadow food lacks the nutritional density of real food that kept our ancestors alive for so long and has kept us alive until this moment, where there is an engineered global depopulation agenda. So the number one takeaway from this that I want you to remember is that food aid to third world countries is very often a food weapon of depopulation. And I've also seen this in the United States because, you know, my company, healthrangerstore.com, we've donated well over $1 million of food to Americans. Most recently in, there were the fires in California, and then there were storms in Florida, and also in Alabama and the Tennessee area, etc. And we donated truckloads, you know, we showed the photos and everything about this, truckloads of food to those areas of the country that were hit by storms or fires or what have you. And the number one thing I heard from people there when they received one of our food buckets was that they were very grateful to have something that was real food and not just packaged processed junk food. Because you see, Walmart rolled in with, I don't know how many trucks, maybe a couple of dozen trucks in the, I think it was the Alabama area. And, you know, nothing against Walmart. It's very gracious of them to make the donations. But the kind of food that Walmart sends for donations is, of course, heavily processed packaged food, because that's what has the shelf life. You know, so it's got to be canned soups, mostly heavily processed, you know, garbage ingredients, sodium nitrite, etc. It's going to be, you know, loaves of bread or crackers that are made from bleached white flour. All the nutrients are stripped out. Some companies would send cases of, you know, Gatorade, and it's just garbage drinks. You know, I mean, come on. It's like salt and sugar water with food coloring in it. I mean, give me a break. This is not what starving people need, but that's what that's what tends to be donated to people. Just go to a food bank sometime and look at what companies donate to food banks. And the food banks serve up mostly just heavily processed, you know, diabetes promoting garbage. And I'm not trying to fault the food banks. They're performing a very important service for people who are having trouble feeding themselves. And, you know, if that's the only food they have, well, you know, that's what's available. So I'm not faulting the food banks. I'm just saying that it's the nature of processed food that gives it a shelf life that makes it more suitable for these kinds of logistics distribution challenges to get food into the hands of people. In other words, your rescue food is not going to be the food that will keep you alive in the long run. It will keep you alive today. It'll give you calories. But the more of that rescue food that you eat, the more nutritionally deficient you become in the long run. That's what I'm trying to say. Not saying that any food bank is at fault, but I will tell you that years ago when I tried to donate fresh farm eggs to a local food bank, I mean, we had a lot of eggs, like over 50 eggs a day, and the food bank said they couldn't accept the eggs because they weren't packaged and labeled like eggs at the grocery store. I said, well, these are vastly superior to the grocery store eggs. You know, I mean, these are orange, the free-range chickens eating bugs and weeds and stuff. There's no comparison between the grocery store eggs. And they said, it doesn't matter. We can't give it to people unless it's packaged like grocery store food. And we've also found this to be true when we've tried to donate things like quinoa, even in number 10 cans, you know. And sometimes people or food banks or whoever would say, well, what do we do with quinoa? We don't know what to do with quinoa. Like, we want Pop-Tarts, you know, stuff that we can just open and eat, stuff that we know about, candy bars, stuff like that. Seriously. Man. But that's the truth. That's what people eat when they're facing famine. They live on junk. So what does that tell you? That there's a global effort to not just kill off billions of people, but to first make them nutritionally deficient in the process. And also think about what is served up to the American people in the food supply anyway. It's so toxic. It's off the charts insane. Cancer-causing chemicals in the bacon and the hot dogs and everything, sodium nitrite. You know, neurologically damaging MSG, excitotoxins. It's in a lot of salad dressings. It's in even like ketchup. It's unbelievable. Pasta sauces sometimes is wild. You then find all the seed oils that are just, in my view, extremely toxic to cell membranes throughout your body. You get all the crap oil, the canola, the corn, the soy oils that are used in salad dressings and in pasta sauces and you know, cooking oil. And don't get me started about, you know, partially hydrogenated soybean oil and that kind of garbage. Shortening, as they say. Yeah, because it's shortening your lifespan if you eat that stuff. You should eat lard instead. It would actually be healthier for you than the shortening, believe me. And they put the shortening in peanut butter also, which is insane. And then the coffee creamer is made out of just powdered shortening. It's shortening your life every time you eat it. So that's what's served up to the American people, partially to make them easy to kill. You know, part of it's just to keep them sick and keep them on pharmaceuticals and generate profits for big pharma. But the other part is to make everybody easy to kill with a chemical assault, you know, chemical weapon or whatever that happens to be. So, and believe me, when they roll out hantavirus, since they know it's not a real virus that's transmissible between humans, because that's all well documented, it's not a human transmissible disease, they're going to drop chemical weapons on some cities and say there's a hantavirus outbreak. And they're going to use that to cause everybody to panic just like they did during COVID. But how do they make the chemical weapons more effective? First, they make everybody nutritionally vulnerable with processed junk food being pushed everywhere. And we've been living under that for generations in the United States. So people have essentially very little of a functioning immune system. Their livers are barely functioning. They don't even know about how to support liver health. They don't know about licorice root or glycyrrhizin or, you know, dandelion or yellow dock or, you know, glutathione or anything. They don't know about how to have a healthy liver, how to have healthy kidneys, how to have a healthy heart, how to have a healthy brain. And so they're just living on toxic junk food every day, waiting for the wave of chemicals to come make them sick. So the hospital can say, oh, there's another hantavirus fatality today. And then, you know, Fox News and CNN can start spiking up all the numbers. Look how many people died today from hantavirus. Lockdowns shall begin. That's the whole point of it. It has everything to do with food making you weak before they unleash the chemical weapons. All right, so obviously your defense against this is simple. It's actually easy. It's just nutrition. It really is that simple. And what kind of nutrition? Well, I mean, you probably already know the answer is the kind of nutrition that you can get by sprouting or growing your own food or you know, just having a daily multivitamin that's of decent quality or eating superfoods or all these things. You know, make sure you're not deficient in zinc, in copper, in sulfur, in selenium. Make sure that you've got plenty of B vitamins. You know, you should probably take a B vitamin multivitamin supplement. Make sure you got some vitamin E, especially if you're consuming seed oils, because E protects your cells from the seed oils. Make sure you're constantly consuming vitamin C. I mean, I'm taking vitamin C multiple times a day. And yes, we have the non-GMO vitamin C at healthrangerstore.com, which is the superior source of vitamin C, lab tested, etc. So if you want to get the world's best vitamin C, we've got it. It's also expensive, just letting you know, because it's not made from GMO corn, so it's much more expensive. But I take these things every day, and then I'm drinking my smoothie, and you know, I'm drinking avocados and turmeric powder and broccoli sprouts and what else? I'm doing black cumin seed oil and vitamin B12. Sometimes I do Laetril, vitamin B17, come to think of it. Just on and on. I'm doing these things constantly because I understand the power of nutrition. Nutrition will get you through this where they can't kill you through these mass extermination methods that a lot of other people will be vulnerable to. And also, you can, you know, with zinc and some lobelia, you can be immune, plus some ivermectin if you need it for emergencies, you can be immune to almost any kind of bioengineered spike protein that they put out there. You don't have to be afraid of all that stuff. You don't have to wear a mask and lock yourself in your basement for 6 weeks. I don't do that. No way. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm using nutrition. Nutrition is my shield. And that's what I encourage you to look into as well. So let me give you a resource. Just go to brightanswers.ai. That's my AI engine that is heavily trained on over 100 million pages of resource material about nutrition and natural health and science papers and articles and much more. Even Dr. Mercola, his articles are indexed there as well, and we give him credit for that. And Sayer G from Green Med Info, plus the whole history of natural news, the truth about cancer, etc. All of that is in there. I'm about to add the entire article series from Dr. Chris Martinson also, because he sent those my way to be included. So all of that is automatically researched when you enter a query at brightanswers.ai. So you can ask it anything. Ask it about nutrition, ask it about zinc deficiencies, ask it about symptoms of zinc deficiency, or whatever you want. Ask it about, you know, what's the best source for adding zinc to your soils, let's say, or whatever you think is important. You can ask it there. And if you want to follow more of my work, you can hear my videos and interviews at brightvideos.com. That's brightvideos.com. And then my articles and infographics are found at naturalnews.com. And then finally, if you want to follow me on social media, I'm on brighteon.social, username healthranger, and that's also my username on X, which hasn't yet banned me since they reinstated me after Elon bought the platform. So I keep expecting them to ban me on any given day, but so far they haven't, so that's to Elon's credit. I'll keep posting there until they ban me, I guess. After that, you can find me on brighttown.social. So thank you for listening. Stay healthy. Use good nutrition. And oh, if you need storable foods, like really healthy, high-density nutrition foods, healthrangerstore.com is the place to go. We do our own lab testing, heavy metals, glyphosate, atrazine, microbiology, E. coli, etc. So it's ultra-tested, plus it's almost everything is certified organic, and it's sealed, like freeze-dried fruits, in rugged, sealed number 10 steel cans for extreme long-term storage. And portability also, plus our Ranger buckets, etc. High-density nutrition, not cheap garbage, you know, $99 for 6 months. Of what? Of textured vegetable protein? GMO soy? No, thank you. You know, soy with MSG and salt in the shape of meat nuggets? No, thank you. We sell real food, organic, nutritious, lab-tested, long-term, storable formats at healthrangerstore.com. So stock up while we have it. We have it now. Don't know how long it's going to last, but we have it now. Thanks for supporting us, and thank yourself for getting prepared for the famine that's coming.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.